This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
This is Radio EcoShock. We are covering the West Coast appearance of the transition movement. Joanne Poirot co-founded a community group that became Transition Los Angeles. She continues as part of that core team while participating in her local Westchester neighborhood of L.A. Joanne, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much.
Los Angeles is so huge, 10 million people, it seems impossible to imagine anything sustainable developing there. Can you give us some concrete examples of what is happening in these early days of transition in L.A.?
Well, at the current moment, we have from 6 to 9 local groups happening. They're all working along the lines of the transition movement internationally, and they put on quite a panorama of events, everything from alternative health fairs to building community gardens to looking at water issues to creating time banks, a wide variety of awareness-raising movies and events, a lot of the things that you see in other transition projects around the world.
And as I understand it, according to the website, there's a ladder of self-organizing units that you have been calling pods, although that may be in transition too. What are pods and how is that developing?
Pods was one of our early names for what would we call these local subgroups within Los Angeles. Realize that L.A. is a vast basin geographically with just wall-to-wall people here, and we were trying to figure out how to use the localization model that had come out of small towns in England and adapt it to this massive geography. And at first we were talking about pods being the local groups within Los Angeles, but at this point we tend to use just the terminology of local groups. And at the current moment, they're in all kinds of stages of formation, from very active and groups that have events multiple times a month to some that just meet once a month and are a small circle of people.
Some of the things that I'm seeing there remind me of what's happening here in Vancouver. We find people create new community, sometimes based on neighborhoods and who's right around you, but also through common interests. For example, we have gays and lesbians organizing for sustainability. What sort of interest groups have you seen?
Well, one of the things that we early on realized was that people in LA are very accustomed to driving to get to things. And that if we were to go to a pure localization model, that it didn't necessarily work for the way people think or identify. So we started really with models of belonging, like where did people feel they fit in? Where did they feel a sense of community already? So some of our early centers were a yoga center, a community garden, Episcopal church, places that people already felt a sense of connection where they would return to find that sense of a circle of like-minded people with whom to explore these ideas.
And then the local groups communicate through the Transition Los Angeles Hub. Can you describe how the hub works?
Well, the hub's very simple. It's really a opportunity for the leaders to get together and to discuss leadership issues. When you're leading a transition group or any community group, you come up against those knotty issues of, you know, how do you deal with this conflict or this schedule issue, or is this a good route, or we're having difficulties with, you know, the following items, and you need someone to bounce those ideas off of, and it's really helpful to have fellow leaders who are working, you know, alongside you and really can understand that and say, hey, we've been there, we did that, and this is what we tried.
And how does all that relate to Transition US?
We communicate with Transition US. We're also, when people connect with Transition US and are looking for people in Los Angeles, they find us through the network. At the same time, we do a lot of outreach and answering questions like this interview, like interviews we do, to help other areas understand about the transition movement, the basic premises of it, how people are approaching things. So we're always available to help people get started.
You mentioned community gardens, and it's a great place to grow things, but I do remember just a few years ago on YouTube watching the video of protests of a large community garden that was taken down. I don't know whether it was the city or a private developer. Have a lot more new community gardens sprung up, and how can we handle this problem of ownership of the land itself?
Well, in my own neighborhood, we're building a new community garden this year, and certainly I think that the awareness in the last 3 to 5 years has highlighted the need for increased numbers of places for people to grow food. So that certainly helps as far as getting through the red tape and making these community gardens come into existence.
Is there any support or understanding from City Hall?
Certainly. We're working with the mayor's office right now. We're working with LAUSD. That's the massive school district here.
I lived in L.A. in the Silver Lake area quite a few years back, and I've returned several times in recent years. One obvious change is a different kind of transition, the change to Spanish speakers in many neighborhoods. Is there a Latino transition movement?
Not yet, but there's always time. We've really only been in existence as Transition Los Angeles for a bare 2 years, and in that time, we've grown from just a single group that had an idea and a connection to this international movement to going on 9 active local groups offering events and gatherings every single month. So any day now we will hear from people who can speak Spanish. I can't speak Spanish myself, otherwise I'd be out there starting it.
Hablo poco. This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Our guest is Joanne Poirot, one of the organizers of Transition Los Angeles. Joanne, one problem I did have looking at the website, it describes peak oil and climate change as motivators, but it didn't seem to talk about the economic crash, and that seems odd, considering the big hole. It used to be California real estate, all the foreclosures, the unemployment, you know the scene. Why not use that to promote self-sufficiency and sustainability in hard times?
Well, actually, that is highlighted on our Transition Los Angeles level website. I think that part of that in the national organization is somewhat of a question of whether they're seeing it coming out of England or not, where this movement started. I'm working myself on a paper right now about the economics and transition movement, so it certainly is very much a part of what's going on here in Los Angeles. Southern California experienced some of the worst of that real estate crash, so it's definitely present in our local populace. And, you know, as with anything transition, things are very localized. It's really going to be driven by the issues that people in the local geography are experiencing and grappling with.
So you see West Coast Americans understanding the transition movement differently than the original organizers in Britain?
I see every single local organization understanding it ever so slightly differently because they have different sets of circumstances that they're dealing with. For instance, when the materials came out of England, we laughed at them here in L.A. because they never mentioned water. Here in Los Angeles, that's a huge issue as far as sustainability, and obviously it's not a problem in England.
What do you think the biggest problems are we still have to solve to make the transition movement go mainstream?
I think one of the biggest problems is courage, that people are beginning to realize at this time that things aren't as they thought they were, particularly with regards to the economic situation. And although people see that things are changed or changing, it takes a tremendous amount of courage to put your money where your mouth is, to actually make those huge transformative adjustments in your everyday lifestyle, and perhaps even in the lifestyles of your children and your expectations for the future. That takes a lot of courage and confidence in your ideas. And as we grow greater numbers of people who are willing to do that, I think that this whole wave of change, Joanna Macy calls it the Great Turning. I think that a lot of that will change a whole lot faster the more people start to come on board because people feel that they have company in that journey.
Well, and two, another problem I think is that the mainstream media are telling us that things are fine. We're in the recovery. It's all going well. And as long as people can believe in that daydream, they're going to keep hanging on, commuting 1,000 miles to work and going shopping at the big chain stores. So in a way, we sort of need a couple more shocks, I think, to wake people up.
I'm enjoying a billboard that is near my home, and I pass it several times a week, and it says, "The recession is over? Question mark. Would somebody tell my portfolio?" And I think that that really reflects a lot of people's feeling is, although we've got the media saying this, people aren't feeling it. There's a lot of people around me who are still unemployed. There's a lot of people around me who are now underemployed than they were before this whole thing started. And a lot of the materials that I read indicate that this is only the first of it. We have a whole lot more to come. And given that, it really demands that we be thinking in new and different ways. And the transition movements concepts of self-sufficiency and local resilience feed right into the same answers that we come up with as far as how to cope with an economic issue.
Do you have new projects you want to tell us about?
I think that a lot of our projects here in Los Angeles thus far have been getting new local groups started. That's been a huge emphasis over the last 2 years. But as we start to have more established groups, we're starting to see specialization in those groups where, for instance, in Transition Mar Vista, we have a lot of people interested in alternative health. They now have a community wellness forum once every 2 weeks that brings together local practitioners. We have time banks sprouting up in Whittier and San Fernando Valley, new efforts to create those kind of concepts in alternative economics. We have, I previously mentioned, the new garden in Westchester, but there are many local gardens and a whole change in consciousness about local food and seeing how much can be grown here in Los Angeles. We have a year-round growing season, and so there's really no reason we shouldn't be growing food instead of grass.
Do you have a couple of web links you'd like to give for our listeners?
Well, anyone wants to find out about Transition Los Angeles, we're at transitionla.org, and you can find just about everything on there about us.
We could spend an hour on this, and I'd like to sometime, but that's our brief report from Los Angeles for this week. My thanks to you, Joanne Poirot, for sharing your time and energy.
Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm Alex Smith, reporting for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.